All right, we're continuing through a little mini-series here. This is Lesson 5. It's been about the Christian home. We said for the month of May and June, May Mother's Day, June Father's Day, we said we're going to focus on the family for a little while. And this is, again, these lessons come from a book written by Clarence Sexton, great book about the Christian home, and these lessons are kind of a spring from that book. But this is Lesson 5, and it's about the glory of children. Look at Proverbs 17:6, and you'll see the verse that is going to be the main verse of the day. Proverbs 17 and verse number 6. This is a great verse of the Bible. Just a little phrase that we're going to focus on, but yet a very powerful phrase. The glory of children. Proverbs 17:6. It starts off by saying, children's children are the crown of old men. So that first part of the verse is talking to grandpas. So if you're a grandpa, you can relate to that verse. You understand what that means. You can, you know, you get something extra from that verse, being a grandfather. Children's children are the crown of old men. You think of, you know, I think of a crown, you think it makes you feel like a king, right? Maybe when you got your grandchildren around, it makes you feel extra special. And that is a special thing for grandparents. But this isn't Grandparents' Day, so we're going to go on to the next part of the verse, all right? And if you look there, the next part, and the glory of children are their fathers. That's a powerful phrase. The glory of children are their fathers. And listen to this quote from the book, the introduction. We are living in a world where millions of children have no glory. Meaning, there's no father in the home. For whatever reason. We are living in a world where millions of children have no glory. You cannot say that part of the problem with this generation and the way the children are, you cannot say that part of that is not related to the fact that maybe there's not a father in the home. That has to have a part in the equation. Very sad, but true. Many, many, many homes like that. And notice the next quote. When fathers do not glory in God, the children find no glory in their fathers. As a result, the nation finds no glory in her children. Interesting. You see? We see how many children are. Challenging, right? Those of us school teachers can relate to that. Those Sunday school teachers can relate with that. We that deal with children more so see how they behave. And it's a challenge. But could it be? Could part of the problem be there's no father in the home? Or maybe the father is there, but he's only there, like sitting in the recliner with the remote in his hand and a beer can in the other hand. How many fathers are like that? Just there, not really involved in the children's life. So we're going to look this morning just at three main ideas here about areas that a child can glory in their father. Three things where a child can glory in their father. So if you're a dad, this is extra pertinent to you. If you're not a dad, still, you can apply these things in your own life. You know, sometimes somebody that has no children of their own can be like a dad to somebody. Maybe you say, well, I'm not a dad. Okay, fine. Well, you guess what? Maybe there's a child you can take under your wing, somebody that you can reach out to that maybe doesn't have a dad. This could be applied to anybody. It's not just for dads. Number one we'll look at is children glory in the leadership of their fathers. That's one thing that a child can glory in. They can glory in the leadership of their fathers. And we're going to look at some passages here in a moment. But letter A. First of all, a good father needs to be a Christian. I think that's obviously a big beginning point. Amen. All right, being a Christian. But not just that, letter B is important. Fathers should also have Bible-based convictions. Amen. All right? Fathers should have Bible-based convictions. That's important to have. Not just Christian in name only, right? Because that's not something a child would be able to glory in. That their parents, and many children grow up that way too. Quote-unquote Christian home, but yet mom and dad don't really live by Bible-based convictions in the home. And what does that do to the children? You know what that does. As soon as they're out of the home, they're gone. And they go running with the world. Because they figure, well, mom and dad are never serious about it. Why should I be? That's often what happens. And letter C, children need to know where dad stands on the issues of life. Where does dad stand? Children should know where dad stands about things. It should be clear. Children should know where dad stands. Let's look at Joshua 24:15. So the glory of children are their fathers. You want to be the type of father or parent that a child can glory in. Now, what parent is perfect? None. No parent is perfect. Parents make mistakes. All right? Joshua 24:15. Parents are going to make mistakes, but they ought to have an overall lifestyle that pleases the Lord. Joshua 24:15, you know this verse. Joshua makes a statement as the dad of the home. He says in Joshua 24:15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's a declaration there that a dad made. He was a father. And he made a declaration. Notice a lot's put upon the fathers. A lot is put upon the fathers because you see what he said? He said, you need to choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the God that your father served? Those false gods? Notice how God puts the fathers in the place of responsibility. The spiritual leadership of the home is in the father's shoulders. Are you going to serve the God that your father served? Maybe you had a father that wasn't a good father. Many of us can maybe raise our hand for that, okay? A father that wasn't involved, a father that was whatever. Many of us can relate with that. But the point is, are you going to be like your father who didn't serve God, or are you going to make a decision that you, as a father now, will break that chain and make right decisions as a father? You see, you have a choice. You know, am I going to be like my dad, who is whatever, maybe? Maybe you have a good example. That's wonderful. Maybe your dad was a good example. Praise the Lord for that. That's rare. Something to be thankful for. But notice, he made a declaration. He said, I'm the dad, and I'm making this decision here as the dad. We're going to serve the Lord. That's for me and my house. I don't know what you guys are going to do, he said, but me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So notice, letter C. Children need to know where dad stands. Everybody knew where Joshua stood. Joshua made it clear. He wasn't wishy-washy. He wasn't, well, one day I'm going to stand for the Lord, but the next day I'm not. He was making it clear. We stand for the Lord. We stand with the Lord. That's a good decision to make. Not only that, letter D. Dads need to live clean lives, or they will have no real leadership. Because we've all seen situations where maybe somebody calls themselves a leader, or where maybe somebody has the title of a leader, but when they don't live a clean life, what has happened is their authority has been destroyed. Nobody respects that kind of authority. When they demand following, but yet their own life is a wreck. And nobody respects that. You'll have no real leadership. Yeah, you might be able to, you know, boss the kids around. You might be able to make them sit down and make them be quiet, but you don't really have the type of leadership God wants you to have in the home if you're not living a clean life. Yeah, you can boss them around because you're the dad or you're the mom. But if you're not living a clean life, they're not inside. They're not going to really respect you. They're going to see right through, and That's what I believe where the Bible talks about, and fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. I think that's what happens. Provoking your children to anger. Maybe the dad's living a hypocritical life. That's provoking the children to wrath. Inside, they're going to resent that. Yeah. So, you know, you want to have that type of leadership where you're living a clean life, where they can look up to you and respect you. Because you know what? Letter E. Children are watching what you do more than they are listening to what you say. More than they hear what you say, because how often do children really hear what we say, right? In one ear and out the other. But you know what? They do see what you do. And they are watching what you do. At all times. Watching. We're being watched at all times. So, something to keep in mind.
Well, my family, we grew up Catholicism. But that's still the way things are today in families without God, that's still a Christian way of life.
Mm-hmm.
In the school, too, it's much different. We study the Bible, even in public school. That sounds unbelievable.
Times have changed.
What it is.
Yeah, you're right. They're watching what we do. They're observing us at all times. They say, all right, well, Dad said this. Let's see if Dad does this. Because if Dad says this but doesn't do it, well, then they're not going to do it either.
My father used to say to me, don't do what God's doing, do what God said.
And then we know that that's a worldly philosophy. It's not a good philosophy. You can't live by that. You know, because children are going to do as you do. They're not going to do as you say. They're going to do as you do. So we need to be careful with our behavior in the home. Letter F, let's talk about Eli. Let's talk about him for a few moments. Letter F, Eli is an example of a believer who was a what? Good or bad? Bible quiz. Bad. He was a bad dad. Letter F. Eli was a bad dad. He was a high priest. That's the highest level of spiritual leadership in the land of Israel. But he was a bad dad. Oh, you mean people in spiritual leadership sometimes are bad parents? Oh. You mean that's why the pastor's kids are sometimes the worst kids in the church? Oh, well, you know. You see, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Eli, the highest level of spiritual leadership in the land of Israel. But he was a bad dad. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And verse 22. I'm going to read a few verses. 1 Samuel 2:22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto Israel. How they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. I mean, immorality is occurring here in the vicinity of the tabernacle. Verse 23, and he said unto them, now you see he's trying, but I would call this in 1 Samuel 2:23, I would call this too little, too late. All right? He's trying to do the right thing. Oh, wow, look at Eli. He's confronting them. Well, is he really, though? Look at what he says in verse 23. Eli says to his sons, he said to them, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. In other words, this was not something that was secret. Eli's sons, their behavior was published. You know, front page of the newspaper, Eli's sons, you know, and the, you know, like the tabloids. You know, you see tabloids and stuff. I mean, this was like big time what Eli's sons were doing. And everybody knew who Eli was, and everybody knew who Hophni and Phinehas were. So, you know, this was well known. These are supposed to be spiritual people. But yet, they're living in outward immorality. And Eli goes up to him finally and says, all right, guys, why are you doing this? You know, too little, too late. It should have been corrected way before it ever became front page of the newspaper. It should have been corrected before. Verse number 24. He says, nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. And Eli was right. Verse 25. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? But notice how his sons listened, or shall we say didn't. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. They didn't listen to their dad. Obviously, there was a respect issue here between Eli and his sons. They could care less what their dad had to say. Now, what should he have done? You know what he should have done? He should have removed them from their position. That's what Eli should have done. Eli long ago should have said, sons, if you don't get right with God, you're out of this position. He was the high priest. I mean, you know, he was the top authority. If Eli were a good dad, he would have said, sons, if you don't get this right, the first moment he heard of it, then you're out. We don't read of Eli doing anything of the sort. He just let them continue doing what they did. He allowed it. So now let's go to 1 Samuel 3:13. 1 Samuel 3:13. Now God is speaking. Let's go back to verse 11. 1 Samuel 3:11. Now God is speaking. And God has to speak to Samuel. Because God's not speaking to Eli anymore. Because Eli's not doing the right thing. So God speaks to a young boy, Samuel. 1 Samuel 3 and verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end." Listen to verse 13. "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not."
Amen.
God held Eli responsible for what his sons were doing. God says, "Eli, I'm coming for you because you did nothing about what your sons were doing." God holds the dad responsible for what the children are doing. And God expects the dad to restrain as much as he can. Now, God knows the situations when a dad has done all he can and the son or daughter still has gone wayward. God knows that situation. What God was upset about in verse 13 was that Eli did nothing to stop it. He just let it go. That's endorsing. That's endorsement right there. That's silent endorsement. Sometimes you endorse something simply by saying nothing against it. You see, Eli wasn't there cheering him on. Eli wasn't there saying, "Yeah, I'll help you do this and that." No, but Eli didn't do anything against it. He let them stay in their positions. He let them stay wherever they were. And Eli didn't restrain them. God held Eli responsible. So letter F, Eli is a bad dad. He's the bad dad of the day. All right? So for Father's Day, we put Eli's picture up and we say, "Bad dad." Sorry, Eli, but that's what the Bible tells. Now letter G, the other side of the coin, is Joshua is the good dad. We already read the verse in Joshua 24:15, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In other words, if you don't want to serve the Lord in this house, then you can't stay in this house type of thing. You know, if his children were grown, he would have told them that. So letter G, Joshua, is an example of a good dad. Because of letter H, he made the spiritual decisions for his family. Letter H. He made the spiritual decisions. He said, "Children, wife, we're serving the Lord in this house. So you better like it, because that's what we're going to do. As for me and my house." He made the spiritual decisions. And then letter I, we're talking about, again, leadership. Children glorying in the leadership of their fathers. Letter I, leaders often make decisions and they should not consider their popularity. That's letter I, popularity. In other words, don't consider the popularity of a decision. Sometimes dads have to make unpopular decisions, right? Kids want one thing, but dad has to say, "Sorry, kids, we're not going in that direction." Sometimes dad is the unpopular one in the home, right? Sometimes dad is unpopular and the kids, you know, don't like dad's decision. But I believe in the long run, again, we're talking about the glory of children are their fathers. In the long run, the children will glory in the leadership of their father and say, "Wow, you know, dad made some unpopular decisions." And they'll respect that, right? They'll respect that. So popularity, don't consider it. And then letter J, before we move on to the next point. Letter J, God, we already said this. God holds the fathers responsible for how things go in the home. You know, the buck stops here. And it stops with dad. So letter J, God holds fathers responsible. That's where the buck stops with the dad. So number one, we said leadership. Number two, children glory in the love of their fathers. We can't ever have a discussion about Father's Day or being a dad without mentioning love. How could we? Such a part of it. We're not going to read the whole chapter for sake of time, but 1 Corinthians 13, you know the chapter. You read through it, Dad, and think of those verses for you as a dad. Let's just look at a few of the verses. 1 Corinthians 13. Think of this chapter for Father's Day, 1 Corinthians 13. And this passage is preached, can be preached for any topic, but let's apply it to Father's Day for today. So let's think of 1 Corinthians 13 starting in verse 4 for the dad. How these qualities need to be present in the dad. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Charity suffereth long. Dad, you got to put up with a lot of stuff, don't you? Right? It's kind. Dad, are you kind to your children and your wife? Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself or is not puffed up. You know, don't have that extra pride that's unnecessary. Well, I'm dad, you better bow down before me type of thing. Don't have that attitude, you know. Don't be proud. Okay, verse number 5, doesn't behave itself unseemly. How do you behave, dad? Seeketh not her own, right? Dad, are you just being selfish? A lot of selfish dads just thinking about themselves, right? Going out with their friends instead of being there for their children, whatever. Dads can get selfish. Is not easily provoked. Uh-oh. Are you the dad that flies off the handle and screams at the kids, get out of here before I strangle you, whatever it is, you know, dad is not easily provoked. Maybe your dad was like that, I don't know, but you know, don't be easily provoked. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, you know, you got a lot, again, putting up with things, believeth all things, hoping all things, endureth all things, you see, that's what a dad needs to be in the home. Letter A, here's a good quote, again from the book that we're getting much of this from. Letter A, love is firm. That's the first blank for letter A. Love is firm. In other words, love is not this wishy-washy thing all the time, you know. That's not, biblical love is often a firm love. Why? Because love is committed. Love is a decision that is made. We've said that. Love is committed. Listen to these quotes. Love takes hold and holds on. Fathers need to say, and these are good quotes. You know, you talk about resolutions that a dad should make. I think these are resolutions any dad should make. Here they are. I am not going to lose my children. I am not going to lose my wife. I am not going to lose my family. If a dad would make those decisions, how it would change his life. In other words, I'm going to do all that I possibly can, of course, with God's help, that I will not lose my kids, that I will not lose my wife, that I will not lose my family, when so many dads are losing their family. We need to make that decision. I am going to hang on and do what is necessary. That means if I have to make some changes in my life, I will. If there's things that aren't pleasing my wife, well, guess what? I'm going to change that. I'm not going to have the attitude, well, honey, you better get to like it. You better deal with it. No, that's not the right attitude, dad, husband, right? If there's something my wife does not appreciate, well, then by God's grace, I'm going to pray and try to change that. If there's something that I know really annoys my kids, and it's, you know, we're talking about maybe just some little thing, not talking about making that unpopular decision, but something that maybe I can change in how I talk to my kids, how I deal with my kids, well, then you know what? I want to do it. Whatever it is, love is going to make those tough decisions. That's the last blank of letter A. Love is tough. Love will make those tough decisions. You know what? I'm going to do whatever it takes. Make whatever sacrifices. Change whatever needs to be changed to put my family first. That's what the dad needs to do. The love. Letter B. True love will discipline. Let's turn to Proverbs 13:24. True love will discipline. Oh, have you ever heard somebody say, you know, maybe somebody in the workplace, you ever heard somebody say, well, I just love my kids too much. I can't spank them. I just love them too much. Do you? Listen to what the Bible says. Proverbs 13:24. Listen to this. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The Bible says if you love your children, you will chasten and discipline them because you love them, because you want them to turn out right, because you want the best for them. true love will discipline. So that's what the Bible says. If you love your children, you're going to discipline them. You're not going to just let things go. That's not love. That's called neglect. That's called taking the easy road. That's called being lazy, maybe, as a parent. Just letting it go.
Eli.
Bad dad. Letter C. What's the other side of the coin, though? Letter C. Love is also tender. Right? We gotta say that, too. We've said love is firm, and it is. You know, I'm doing this because I love you, but love is also tender and compassionate. Christ, gentlemen, Christ is the great example of a compassionate man. Being compassionate and tender has nothing to do with being girly or unmanly. Right? Christ was 100% man, but he's also very compassionate, very understanding, very tender in his dealings with people. Now, Christ also got mad at times, right? At the Pharisees and you got both sides. But there's also that compassionate side. So don't ever get this idea that this part of being a macho dad has the idea of I'm some kind of, I don't have any tenderness. No, that's not biblical. Right? You could be as 100% manly and still be a tender person. Letter D, spoiling your children is not real love. Let's say that. Letter D, spoiling your children. Oh, I love my kids so much, I just want to buy them everything they want. That's not love. That's spoiling, and you'll reap the results of that. Spoiling your children is not real love. Letter E, love is spelled... Huh? What is it? Love is spelled T-I-M-E. If you heard that before, I'm sure you have. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. You know, don't say you love them if you never spend time with them. If you never spend time with your children, how are you loving them? Love is spelled T-I-M-E. You got to spend time with them. That's how you show that you love them. And letter F. This is just a practical point for dads. Be interested in what they are interested in. You know, take an interest in what your children are interested in. They'll appreciate that. You know, your daughter's interested in something that you probably could care less about as a dad, but you know what? You can maybe try to take an interest in it and say, oh, what are you, find out more about it. And also for the sons. So that's just a practical point. Be interested. That's another way to show love. So leadership, love, and number three, lastly, children glory in the loyalty of their fathers. You know, as a father is loyal, that's something a child can glory in. Wow, my dad is loyal. Well, loyal to what? We'll mention a few things. Loyalty. Letter A. First of all, the definition of loyal is means to be faithful. That's a biblical quality. Faithfulness. Letter A. We could look up so many verses about that. Loyal means to be faithful to one's oaths, obligations, or commitments. Something that's lacking today, loyalty. Nobody's loyal anymore. Nobody's loyal to anything. You know, nobody's loyal to where they are. Nobody's loyal to their workplace. Nobody's loyal to their church. It's just a day where people just jump around wherever they want to go and pack up and go, and nobody's loyal. So let's talk about a few things. You could probably guess these blanks. Letter B, we'll start with, fathers need to be loyal to Christ. I mean, you got to start there. Loyal to Christ. That's number one. A father needs to be loyal to Christ. And where the children can say, wow, my dad is faithful to the Lord. My dad loves the Lord. What better thing could you ask for your children to say about you? Letter C, fathers need to be loyal to their wife. That's number two. I think these are in the proper order here. We're going to see the proper order, numbered properly. So after they're loyal to Christ, then they're loyal to their wife. Again, what better thing could a child say than, wow, my dad really loves my mom. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. My dad loves mommy. And they should see that and know that. Letter D, fathers need to be loyal to their family. Then, of course, the whole home, their family. Dad loves us. You know, dad's not looking to get out of the house every chance he can. Dad actually enjoys being home with us, should be an attitude that the children see. Not that, oh, well, my dad, he works 50 hours a week, and then he goes fishing all day on Saturday, and then Sunday he's doing this, that, and the other, and they don't ever see their dad. That too. Thank you. The Italian coffee house or wherever it is dad goes. You know, dad doesn't like, and they get the attitude, what that says to the kids is dad doesn't like being with us. Okay, see, wherever it is. They say, you know, they get that attitude, well, dad must not like us. You know, dad never wants to be home. He works 60 hours a week, and then the other hours that he finally has off, he's out doing other things with his friends. So fathers need to be loyal to their family. And then letter E, fathers need to be loyal to their church. Amen. And I believe those things are in a proper order. Christ, wife, family, and church. Amen. And you can have all of them, and they can all work together. They don't have to conflict with each other either. You know, you bring your family to church with you. So that's not like a trade-off or anything, because you're with your family in church, you see. So all these things can agree together and work together. But listen, Dad, sometimes maybe you need to give up that extra hobby. Maybe you can't go golfing with your buddies every week. Maybe you can't go fishing with your buddies every week. Maybe you can't go camping every weekend with your friends. You know, you got to make some sacrifices to say, you know what, guys? You know, the guys at work, hey, come on, let's go fishing, let's go camping. You know what? No, I'm going to be with my family because my family comes first. I'm going to spend time with my kids and my wife. I want to be with my wife and kids. How many dads do that? So listen to these quotes. General Douglas MacArthur said this. When I am gone, I do not want to be remembered as a great general. I want to be remembered as a Christian father who read the Bible and prayed with his children. That's what he said. And then the other quote from Clarence Sexton's book said, children will not be young for long. They're grown up and gone before we know it. He said, Father, it would be wonderful if your children could glory in your leadership, your love, and your loyalty now. May God in heaven help us to do what's right. You know, there's going to be two things that happen here. Either you're going to have these things as a dad, and you're going to bring security to your home. I'm going to read to you just two more verses. You don't have to turn there. Proverbs 20, verse 7. Listen to this. Proverbs 27. The just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. When the dad does what's right, the blessings flow down. From the dad, down to the wife, down to the kids. But if the dad isn't doing what's right, it's going to block some blessings.
Amen.
It's going to create some problems. So you're either going to be doing the right things on this paper, and you'll bring security and blessings to your home, or you will not do these things, and you will get Proverbs 17:21, which says this, he that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. And another verse, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. You're going to raise some fools. So dad, you're going to either raise good children or you're going to raise some fools. So these are the things that we can have. And the Bible says the glory of children are their fathers. So we need to be that. That's one of those things you say, wow, that's a high standard. To be somebody that my children can glory in, that's a high standard. That takes a lot of prayer and a lot of grace and a lot of everything to have that be said. So let's pray and we'll get ready for the morning service. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. Your word is so powerful and so relevant. Lord, these verses are so true to us. And Lord, I pray that we would apply them to our lives and wherever we are, whether we're a dad or not. Father, that we would be the type of person that others can look up to. And Lord, that we would have a good testimony. So we just commit this time to you now. Bless all the dads that are here. And Father, we pray that we'll have a great Father's Day. And Lord, that you'll be with Brother Souza as he preaches to us in the morning. Well, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.